and welcome to this week's episode of Extra Serving, a podcast by Nation's Restaurant News. As always, I am your host, Holly Petrie, here with another episode. This week, Nancy Luna interviewed Michelle Bythewood, president of Salada, on the brand's future. They get into all sorts of topics, including drive-thrus, ghost kitchens, and even pull out some nerdy stats, which I think you'll enjoy. But before I throw it over to Nancy, I wanted to remind you just one last time about Restaurants Rise powered by Musso. Next week, Tuesday, October 27th, and Thursday, October 29th, are the last 2 days of live programming from our month-long October event. This week's keynote speakers include Vijay Vathiswaran of The Economist, who is sure to present on a lot of financials that I'm sure every owner or exec could use, and Scott Boatwright, Chief Restaurant Officer of Chipotle, who will speak about the brand's tech innovations and how it became so successful, which, based on their latest quarter earnings, is definitely going to be helpful to everyone out there. Both of these men will speak on Tuesday. Then on Thursday, we have the CEO of the National Restaurant Association, Tom Bonet, on the state of the industry. There are dozens of other speakers on topics ranging from marketing to understanding consumers' needs to menu development to the future of restaurant layouts. So be sure to head to virtual.mufso.com to register and learn more. Plus, if there's any session you want to see that you missed, all sessions will be available on demand on that website. Newly added on-demand sessions include Omar Johnson, former CEO of Beats by Dre, who shared some awesome marketing tips for restaurants, and Inspire Brands CEO Paul Brown on building a culture that sparks innovation. All right, thank you for listening to that. Now it's time to hear about Salada's cool new initiatives. Take it away, Nancy.
Welcome to the Extra Serving Podcast. I'm Nancy Luna, Senior Editor at Nation's Restaurant News. Today, our guest is Michelle Bythewood, President of Houston-based Salada Salad Kitchen. The last time I talked to Michelle was a year ago at an Austin tech conference. Salada was in the thick of things, escalating its digital strategy. Do you remember that, Michelle? My gosh, it feels, do you remember what conferences are?
I know. It seems like a million years ago, back when we used to shake hands and be in person.
Right, exactly. So tell me a little bit about, you were doing a lot to your digital strategy, and that was, little did you know, maybe 6 to 7 months later, a lot of that was probably good that you did with the pandemic coming. How important was that?
Absolutely, hands down, the most important thing that we did. And it wasn't an easy process, I'll admit, because we rolled, if you remember, we rolled out everything at once. We rolled out a new POS system. We rolled out catering software. We upgraded our online platform, ordering platform. So everything at once. And it was a headache, but oh, we're so thankful that we got it all in gear, and it was really a blessing leading into the unfortunate happenings of COVID, but we were prepared.
You were prepared because some of the things like POS, and a lot of that was integration with third party. Can you explain how important that was and having that integration?
The integration was key, and that's really why we did the entire tech suite rollout, because we had designed it previously. The owners had designed it to where there were no open APIs. It wasn't intentional, obviously. It suited our needs at the time. But when we got to a point where we wanted to add on a loyalty app and all these other things, we realized we didn't have that capability. So it really was key to integrate the pieces that talk to each other and helped us be that much smarter in the tech world.
Right. And for you to have that third party delivery ready to go without the second tablet right in there during the pandemic was probably important.
Yeah, very, very important. And it's really kept us alive during all of this, is just growing our off-premises sales and being able to utilize third party. And it's really been extremely helpful. So we're thankful.
And you also started last mile delivery through DoorDash, right? So you can also have delivery through your app. And that was something that you started back then, right?
Yeah, it was important to us to work with our third party delivery folks, but also to have our own branded channel. So we spent quite a bit of time really promoting on our social channels for our customers to go through Salada.com. And it helped us actually increase during the pandemic. We have 34% more customers digitally from adding our own branded channel. So we're working in partnership. We've got the third party DoorDash, Uber Eats, Postmates, but we also have our own resource as well. So it's just been another area of opportunity for us to increase digital sales.
You mentioned something like it really saved us. I mean, it sounds like you trained your consumers mm-hmm. already 6 months ahead of time that if they needed you, they could go through your channels.
Right. Exactly. And we have about 20% right now coming in, dining in, but 80% is off-prem. So whether it be, that includes everything from catering, but online ordering. And the interesting thing I think I find out of this is we still have 74% of our guests still come through the line, but take it to go. So that's still a part of off-premises, obviously, but I think people just like to eat with their eyes, and we have over 70 fresh vegetables and fruits and lean proteins, and they like to come through the line but take it to go because people are trying to stay safe and be healthy, or other way around, be healthy and stay safe.
That's right. And well, since you mentioned it, how many restaurants are open? Are you completely open at some capacity for indoor?
We have 86% of our restaurants open. The ones that are closed right now are strictly due to the fact that they're downtown or it's a mall location. So I believe just with the offices not opening up completely yet, we have some of those that are still closed, but we're pleased with 86% of our locations open. I think we're doing very well with the 75% seating capacity in the state of Texas, for example. And customers, like I said, are coming in and either dining in or they're getting it to go. So I think customers have adapted to whatever suits their needs and makes them feel safe.
That's great. So you were chief marketing officer of Salada prior to becoming president. Can you give me some insights on how being in that position helped you lead the brand during the crisis?
I think just being in the role of marketing and the CMO has really suited me well for moving into the role of president. It's a very well-rounded background. Marketing has to know every area of the business because you're speaking about it and communicating about it. So there's a real advantage to knowing everything that's going on in the company. And then just as far as leading through the pandemic, I know the customer and I know what the customer wants and needs and how to speak with them. And they want to ensure safety and we want to ensure that they get their needs met. And also speaks to just working with our franchise partners because they're an internal customer. So I think it's just a well-rounded background that's helped me progress in my career and do the things I need to do.
You mentioned that, you know the customer probably more than anybody else coming through the marketing division. How has that customer changed dramatically? You hinted about it a little bit before. What are some of the sticky trends that you are seeing right now?
I think that they really want brands that are honest and genuine and talk about what they care about, but lead by example. You have to do what you say you're going to do in these days and times. You have to be truthful and honest and like I said, genuine. So I think that's what really resonates with people. And we try very hard to do that and, follow our brand pillars and just be really loyal to our guests.
Do you see their habits changing? You mentioned even with dining rooms partially open for indoor seating, it sounds like a lot of people are still carrying out. Do you think that's going to change, or is that just kind of right now that's still happening because people are nervous?
I think that's one of the biggest questions that we're talking about right now, but I think it's going to continue to increase. Just in this past week, I've had two people tell me, we never ordered out. We live in the burbs. We don't order out. We never have in our lives. And now we've become so comfortable with it, we're going to continue to do it. So I think you'll just see it continue to increase, which is, we'll take it. It's a positive.
So you're growing. I know you have some real estate announcements, but maybe you could talk about what your growth strategy is. And I want to talk a little bit about, because of these changing habits, is it changing the way you look at the at store formats?
We've opened two restaurants thus far during the pandemic, and we're getting ready to open a third in El Paso. Really excited to go into West Texas, and that'll open in a couple of weeks. As far as changing our strategy, we are looking at a smaller footprint. We've gone anywhere from 3,000 to 2,800 square feet, and we're looking right now at 24 being a little more ideal. Looking at a larger kitchen and the back of the house to just accommodate all of these online orders, making sure we have that space in the front of the house for pickup with people coming in and taking things to go. I would also love to see walk-up windows, drive-through. We don't have a typical drive-through, but we have a drive-through pickup window in several of our locations. And we have significant sales increases in those locations just strictly for convenience.
Oh, really?
So we're definitely thinking through things a little bit differently. And then, of course, how to do everything contactless. That's obviously key.
Yeah, contactless is huge. Tell me a little bit more about those drive-up windows. Were those created prior to the pandemic?
They were created prior, and it just lets people order online, go through the window, get their order and move on really, really quickly. So we're seeing more opportunity of freestanding locations or in-cap locations with drive-thrus. So we're really targeted toward getting those locations now because it just makes sense. And if we can't get a drive-thru, then can we get a landlord to cut a pickup window? Does that work for us? So anything we can do from a contactless ease, convenience standpoint.
So it's a car lane, like you could just drive or do you have to get out of your car?
No, you don't have to get out. It's a car lane and we've got it all time. You're just pulling up to the window. Here's my number, hand it out the window and you're on your way. So it's really easy and the customers okay. really like it.
How many locations do you have like that?
We have, let's see, six. So not very many.
Yeah.
Not very many, but with what we've learned in all of this, that is absolutely our target now is to move forward. And we've got three locations the first quarter of next year, and all of them will have either drive-through or pickup window.
Oh, that's amazing. And El Paso, does that have any of these new features?
It does not, but he has an amazing patio. So that's another feature that we obviously look for. Everyone's dining out and it's Texas. It's a little hot in El Paso, but he's got a super nice patio. He's got fans up and just accommodating people to sit outside. So that's something else we've learned is how key that is as well.
What's the size of a normal Salada patio?
Oh, it ranges all over the board. But I mean, if we could get something that was, you know, 300 square feet, 400 square feet, however big we can get it, we'll take it.
Yeah.
So it just really depends.
What is the real estate landscape out there? And are you seeing, I know this is a bit of a sensitive question, but I mean, there have been a lot of closures. So as you grow and your franchisees are looking for, are you finding better options, you know, better deals?
We are finding better deals. Yes, it is unfortunate that some of them are our fellow restaurateurs that have closed down, but we are finding better offers or better real estate, better deals with landlords. They're either a little more lenient on the rent or they're giving us more TI money. So I think everyone's trying to find a way to get restaurants back open and thriving.
Right. Going back to digital, because that's so important, you mentioned contactless pickup. Are you doing anything like with curbside pickup?
We have not figured that one out yet. And it sounds kind of funny, but the reason really is most of our units are with other retailers. So we don't have dedicated space. But we don't want that to stop us. What I've asked our restaurants to do is reach out to your landlord, see if they'll give you at least one dedicated parking space that we can use for curbside. Or we're also just exploring using software where we can identify the customers in the parking lot and they can notify us and tell us, you know, where they're parked. So there's definitely a solution. It's something we're looking at tackling as we speak.
You know, I talked to your terrific marketing director, Alex Atwell, earlier this summer, and she was talking about, you know, the digital strategy, going back to that, you know, the ultimate strategy was to leverage all your digital channels, right? So that you can get people to go through your branded app. How important is that, especially with third-party delivery fees, kind of like, you know, a little difficult during this time? I mean, it was difficult prior to COVID. So maybe you can address that.
Yeah, it's really important. And we're spending a lot of our digital dollars on promoting Salada.com and getting our customers to go that route. But we have to work in, I guess you could say, play in the same sandbox as our third party delivery. And I think both options are a good option for us. I would like, as an industry, to see a cap put on those third party delivery folks. And I know that's a hot topic, but we've had a lot of success in pushing people to Salada.com. So we're going to continue to push that and grow it. And, you know, working with our third party folks too, we're in Olo Rails, which allows us to bring all of our third party through the POS system in one place, so we don't have multiple tablets in our restaurants. So we'd love to see Olo Rails keep putting on new partners, bringing on different third party delivery. So it's really a combination of all of it is how you're most successful.
There are a lot of cities that have adopted, you mentioned commission caps. Are Salada in any of those cities? And if so, how has that helped?
We are not in any of the cities. I would just, you know, I hear it in the news constantly, and there's got to be a way that we figure out that benefits both the restaurant and the third party delivery, where there's a cap and it's beneficial for both parties, because everyone's trying to make money and survive. So there's got to be a solution. I just look forward to finding a solution for it.
Right. So you said it best when you said that you guys are playing in the same sandbox. So do you ever see a time where you can wean yourself completely off of third party delivery, or do you think you kind of have to live together both?
You know, I think right now I'll say that I think we have to live together, and DoorDash has certainly been a great partner for us, and we're testing a few things for them, and they're good partners. So I don't want to sound negative toward them. I think that we work together and we figure out how to positively benefit each other.
Great, great. I want to talk a little bit about menu now. You guys, did you continue to do R&D during COVID? I know there was a lot of brands who just didn't introduce anything new, but what was your strategy?
Yeah, we did. And ironically, I actually hired a corporate chef, a development chef, during COVID. He just actually, it's coincidental. It wasn't intentional per se, but he, Josh Graber, he actually, way back in the day, we're 15 years old this month. And 15 years ago, he
Happy actually, birthday, by the way.
Okay. 15 years ago, he actually met our owners, Tony and Berge, and developed our whole line of salad dressings. So fast forward 15 years later, I got a call from him. We got together and I said, hey, would you like to come work for us full time? And it just happened to work out. So really excited to have a chef on board, and he's been just really instrumental in looking at new menu opportunities, new dressings, new things to add to our line to just increase, you know, guest wants and needs. And yeah, so it hasn't really slowed us down at all. So we're always looking at opportunities.
What did he introduce anything over the last couple of months, and what's coming up?
He did. He actually rolled out our best-selling dressing on the line is herb vinaigrette that he rolled out 15 years ago. And then when he came on just recently, he rolled out a jalapeno avocado dressing that is dynamite.
My goodness.
And we rolled it as an LTO. We're like, oh, we're going to bring it, you know, on and take it back off like pumpkin spice. And we had so many customers just email us or whatever saying, please do not remove this dressing. So we actually decided to keep it on. And it's just really, really great.
Awesome. I hear that you guys have a dressing commissary, you know, where the fresh dressings are made and the veggies are chopped. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, let me. I pulled some statistics, some nerdy salad statistics.
we like nerdy salad stats here.
Just the dressing I was just talking about, the jalapeno avocado. every week, our dressings commissary, they use 400 pounds of fresh jalapeno, 300 pounds of fresh cilantro, 375 pounds of avocado, and then 50 gallons of fresh lime juice every single week to make just that one dressing.
Wow.
So if that gives you a little bit of insight into our dressing commissary, it's just such a well-oiled machine. It's led by a gentleman named Randy Tulos, and he's got an amazing crew that just really put love into everything that they do when they make our dressings.
Wow. Is that something that you guys have always had, your 15 years, or when you started to expand, did you feel it was needed for quality control?
We have had it since day one. Our owners, that was really, one of our owners coined the term that our dressings are the heart of the salad. And it's really true. And from day one, they said, we want to maintain the highest quality, freshest ingredients. And in our facility, it's about 6,000 square feet. And in it, we've got a quality assurance lab. We've got a fresh herb area. We've got a kitchen. We've got two line mixers where everything is hand mixed. So it's literally the term, you know, handcrafted. It's truly handcrafted, all of our dressings each and every day.
Wow. And you're also chopping vegetables there too. Are there other things happening there?
We not in the dressing commissary. Each one of our restaurants and our franchise partners, they chop the vegetables every single morning. Everything is cut fresh, all of our fruits, vegetables, cut, put on the line and served to the guests daily. And that's a key element to our brand as well. It might sound labor intensive, but it ensures our quality and our freshness. And it's just really what we stand for.
Okay, great. So that dressing really, that you didn't want to do in-house at the store level.
No, we didn't. We just thought it was too complicated. We have 12 dressings and we really just wanted to maintain those standards. So it helps us do that. And then it helps our franchise partners and that we're shipping it to them, every few days. So it's a good partnership.
And what about reduction of waste? Does it help any with that? And is there anything you could tell us about that? Do you have any nerdy stats on that one?
Yeah, I got more nerdy stats.
Awesome.
We did start a recycling program in May of 2018, and we save about 7,000 pounds a month on waste, just strictly through cardboard boxes and any kind of plastic pails. To date, we've saved about 320,000 pounds of waste, which was a 25% reduction in waste just in that very short amount of time. So we continue to look for those kind of things and just opportunities to help our environment, really.
You mentioned earlier when we were talking about real estate, increasing sort of like your kitchen space, and mm-hmm. a lot of folks have talked about operational efficiencies by limiting their menus. How important is that going forward when you think about your new restaurants in terms of is the kitchen getting bigger, and does the menu have to get, do you have to sacrifice the menu at all in order to be more efficient?
I don't think we have to sacrifice. What we have learned is just trying to be more efficient and taking a hard look at all of our products. So if there are a couple of items that don't move very well, for example, then does it really make sense to have it on the line? And could we add something that would move 10 times as fast? So it's really about just looking at our existing menus, making some smart decisions. But we've really looked for areas to increase our day part. So we're currently in test for warm grains, and we're getting ready to add sweet potatoes this fall. So we're looking at
keep talking.
Yeah. I know. I'm so excited about sweet potatoes. They're so yummy. So they're definitely going on in the fall, and actually the end of this month. And we're introducing a new dressing. It's a wild berry dressing with blueberries and raspberries. It's phenomenal. But just different opportunities like grains, and we're considering warm proteins that might reach the dinner day part. So looking for opportunities that don't necessarily exist right now. Can we get more people in with grains and warm proteins? Can we reach that dinner day part? Will it reach seasonality? Because people tend to drop off a little bit with salads in the winter, although knock on wood, we have not seen decline. So I'm hopeful that people's mindsets have shifted a little bit during this pandemic, just to eat healthier and looking for healthy, nutritious foods that are full of antioxidants and those kind of things. So I know that was a really long answer.
No. I love it. Hey, anytime we talk about new foods and dressings and warm grains, I'm on it. Well, you hired a new tech IT, head of IT, right? Can you tell us more about that role and what the expectations are?
Yes, Pete Kaufman, super excited about him. He brings 30 years of tech experience to us. Simply put, we're really just looking for him to come in and help us grow off premises. And how do we continue to elevate and innovate in the area of tech? How do we make sure we're secure and safe with everything we're doing from a tech standpoint? How do we make sure that everything is user-friendly to our guests? And, you know, you never stop innovating and growing in tech. And we get customer comments, you know, all the time of, could you do this better? Have you thought of this? And I think Pete will bring that to us just to help us evolve. So it's definitely key strategy moving forward.
That's awesome. When we talked about kitchens, you know, we've seen a rise of something called ghost kitchens, you know, where obviously restaurants are expanding their footprint, delivery only, or even using their own existing kitchens as dark kitchens for a new product. What do you think of these types of operations? And is that something in Salada's future?
So I'm really intrigued with it. And I think there's several opportunities. I've even been thinking of perhaps using a ghost kitchen in a brand new market that we haven't entered, just seeding the market. Let's see how it resonates with our guests. And is it worth a brick and mortar, or does it stay a ghost kitchen? I just think there is so much opportunity there because you have such limited overhead and labor. And I just think it's a really interesting model. And it's about thinking through just customers' needs. I had a franchisee just tell me that she's going to consider bringing on a food truck to actually do curbside. So she's got a really small footprint restaurant. And she said, if I had a food truck out, maybe I could run salads through that to just expand my dining room. So whether it's a food truck or a ghost kitchen, I think we have to stay ahead of the curve and figure out what works for our guests. So yeah, I'm absolutely interested. And we are exploring it in 21.
That's great. Hey, Michelle, well, you've answered all my questions. It was delightful talking to you. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or say? Any big plans for the anniversary?
Well, you know, we're rolling out some special rewards on our app. So if you're not a member of our app, definitely sign up and take advantage of some of our birthday celebration opportunities there. And just as a company, I love to mention that we're volunteering on that day with a great organization called Hope Farms in Houston. And they really speak to food education, which is one of our brand pillars, and they help underprivileged children get food on their table. So we're going to volunteer with them. We've invited our franchise partners to participate as well. So just really celebrating as a team, and you know, we're being safe, we're wearing masks and doing all the things we need to do, but just being together and celebrating our brand and its history.
Good. Well, that's great. That's terrific. I'm glad you're doing that. It's always been amazing to me. This is a really tough time for restaurants, and to see the giving back, you know, even in a time of need is wonderful. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah. And our franchise partners do an amazing job at that. So shout out to them for being, you know, serving the frontline workers and essential workers. They've really done a great job. I'm really proud of them.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Be sure to tune in to Restaurants Rise, powered by Mufso, at virtual.mufso.com. And we'll see you next week. Stay safe.